Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 421. Science Faction, I call BS.
I've been in my bunker now. I haven't heard your voice since Sunday, and hearing your Mrs. Doubtfire ask hello.
Hello!
I think when you do that, it's too loud and it tops out. There we go. It lets me know that it's time for I Call BS, and I pee myself in fear a little bit. I'm like a dog. I recoil.
Yeah.
I'm frightened.
Well, it makes sense because you have lost literally every episode of I Call BS we have ever done, which stretches back 7 years, which is impressive. As we've talked about before, it's almost as impressive that you are able to lose 100% of the episodes as it would be if you were able to win a few.
You know, I think last time we played this, I compared you to Ramsay Snow and myself to Reek.
Uh-huh.
And I will say, you both have that same, like, at no point, it says who you are, no point did Ramsay Snow be like, I'm never not going to fuck with this guy. I am going to fuck with him. There's nothing to do in medieval times. I'm just going to wreck this guy's life for years. That is what you have done.
Yeah, more than just his life, he wrecked.
Yeah, you've taken my dick as well. And my heart.
And speaking of somebody who takes dicks, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, as my dick takey, Mr. Damien Mercado. Damien, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. Let me just say, it's less fun when you say it. Like, if I were to say, hey, Bobby takes dick, and it was like a sweet burn, I'd find that fun. But when you say it, it's like, aw, that's my line. Now, I'm not playing against anybody, so I can't lose, right?
Well, you would think so, but then last week, you know, so you guys, for those of you guys who listen for a long period of time, I Call BS the game where I read 4 science news articles, some of which are real, some of which are BS, standing for bad science. Usually, Damien competes against the scientists. They each answer the questions, letting me know whether or not they think that each particular article is true or false. And 100% of the time, Damien manages to lose to the scientist.
Factually untrue.
Now we are doing this. We don't currently have a scientist lined up in our remote setup here. And so because of that, we are doing this on our own. And Damien still has lost I Call BS, even though he is literally playing against himself.
I feel like this could be more like a training session, a sparring session, where the goal is to get better. And there isn't necessarily have to be a winner or a loser.
Sure.
I kind of thought that that's the pretense we were going into last time. But just as the professional fighter who just wants to hurt somebody will fuck up the novice, that's what you did.
Yes.
I was your sparring partner, and you did several low blows on me, like in the sparring ring.
So I'm going to agree with some of what you said.
You put a brick in your gloves?
Yeah, no, I'm going to agree with some of what you said and disagree with others. So, like, I agree with the part where you said you refuse to win a game of this and consistently anger the audience with your flagrant and constant attempts at not making attempts, frankly, and your refusal to win even a single win of these games. So I agree with you on that. I disagree with the other stuff you said.
Huh. Interesting. Interesting.
All right.
Let's just get on with the charade.
All right, let's move right on to I Call BS.
I called.
I called.
I called.
I called.
I called.
Ring, ring.
I called BS.
All right, article number 1. The oldest human genetic evidence ever detected has been found in Spain. Damien, is this science or bad science?
Yes, this is science. It is a bowl of paella.
That's the oldest human genetic material?
Here the end of the answer.
Okay.
It is a bowl of paella, perfectly preserved, like a mosquito in amber, but it's encased in semen that has dried around it.
Wow.
They think it's the earliest evidence of a fraternity ritual.
I didn't realize Spain had all those fraternities.
Well, the early ones did. The Iberian Peninsula is huge in the Greek system. It used to be called the Iberian system.
Los Fraternados?
Si.
This is indeed true, and it is very, very cool. So we've talked before about...
Wait, what's true? Mine or...
No, the actual story of the oldest human genetic evidence ever. We talked before, obviously, about using DNA when we go back to look at our relatedness to other animals and creatures. However... That doesn't usually work when we talk about very old things. It's usually pretty hard to get DNA from them. We talked about a new technique only last year that was really just pioneered in 2019 called paleoproteomics, which is basically looking at protein structures within fossils. And the way they do that is they find some intact proteins. They're usually in teeth, in this very specific part of the teeth that gets sandwiched between the dentin and gets preserved. And they use mass spectrometry to analyze the proteins that are within there. And they basically, it's the opposite of DNA, where you look at DNA to assume what the creature looked like or, you know, what proteins it was creating. You're looking at the proteins to assume the DNA sequence. And in doing that, you can tell the relatedness of different creatures based on their protein sequences. When we talked about this in 2019, I said, this is an incredibly interesting article. Just wait. This is going to revolutionize human paleoanthropology because this is going to allow us to tell the relatedness of fossil hominin species that we have no DNA from. This is going to be amazing. It's going to totally rewrite human history. This is the paper that starts that rewriting. This is the one I told you to wait for. This is the first of many, many papers that are going to completely change our knowledge of the past.
I think the problem is, yes, you did call it, you did say it, but you're an archaeologist. I think if it was coming from a physicist or somebody who studied a real science, like gerontology or something, I think it would probably pick up. But you're a Deepak Chopra, essentially.
Yeah, you're right. A physicist would have a lot to say about paleoproteomics.
Closer to archaeology.
How?
I'm not going to dumb it down for an archaeologist.
They were able to do this successfully with an 800,000-year-old human fossil remains of Homo antecessor in a cave in Spain. Homo antecessor, we think, is either on our direct lineage, like one of our direct ancestors to Homo sapiens, or somewhere on that lineage. And this is a time period that would predate kind of the split between us and Neanderthals and Denisovans. So this creature is most likely either directly on our lineage or kind of like just off of our lineage, like an aunt or sister species or something like that. And it predates that split enough that it is probably also the ancestor or related to the ancestor species of Neanderthals, Denisovans, and all those things. Very interesting, part of the Atapuerca series in Spain, where we have a whole bunch of really old human and hominin fossils that date from, you know, 800,000 years to like 450,000 years in Cima de Hueros and places like that. So Spain has a really interesting history, likely because of its proximity to northern Africa. And there's some really interesting stuff there, including these creatures running around that may be our direct ancestors at about 800,000 years. And we've finally essentially been able to figure out its relatedness and genetic profile to ourselves using this new technique. Again, this is going to become really common. I would be surprised if in the next 5 years we don't look at basically the protein sequence of every single hominid we know of and probably are going to find some pretty interesting relatedness that we did not know beforehand.
Could we get Dr. Troy to say the exact same thing you said? I just think it would get more mileage out of it if we could get it from his lips.
How dare you? All right, article number two.
Or Ronald McDonald, somebody.
Article number two. A painstaking recreation of the brain of Lucy's species, Australopithecus afarensis, shows that they had a brain much more like humans than the other great apes and likely had similar cognitive capacities. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science, and I'm not through beating up on your profession. Just as to teach kindergartner, you really just have to be smarter than the kindergartners. To study ancient hominids, you only have to... That's not even your profession.
Yes. No, it's not.
You have to be smarter than the ape you're studying.
So, like, that would mean that the dumbest scientists, according to you, are people who study, like, single-cell organisms?
Correct.
Which, in other words, hey, Dr. Troy, guess who Damien just called the dumbest scientist?
On record, saying Dr. Troy is the dumbest person to have ever been on this podcast. And I'd say that knowing he listens to the episodes.
Well, I'm happy to say that indeed, Damien, this is a false story. They actually found that they had a very ape-like brain. specifically in relation to the lunate sulcus, which is a division of the brain that is different in humans than the other great apes. And that division, that kind of fissure, likely plays a role in our different use of language, tools, non-material concepts and everything. Basically, we have a different brain structure than the great apes. Not just do we have a bigger prefrontal cortex, which obviously we do. There are parts of our brain that are structured differently. And we know that those structures, things like sulcuses, which are like fissures in the brain, they can determine different functions of a brain. And so we think that this is part of an advanced brain style, the Homo sapien brain style, that allows us to do what we can do. Now, you might ask, how would they tell? They don't have fossils of Lucy's brain, do they? And no, they don't. But what they can do is take super detailed scans of the inside of the skull. And when they were doing this with very advanced technologies, they were able to show kind of an endocast of the brain itself and show where certain brain features were. And in doing this, they found that that lunate sulcus is basically identical to the place it is in apes, in great apes. And even though these brains of this particular hominid are about 20% larger than that of a chimpanzee, it probably wasn't that much smarter. It was probably pretty much at that same level because of brain organization and type. Now, it did start to show something interesting, which is based on its size and its age, it seemed like the brain was kind of small for its age. That usually indicates that the creature has a longer period of essentially being dependent on its mother, which can mean that it's shifting more towards kind of a human style lifestyle. Because think about it, we are, as babies, dependent on our mothers until we're at least, you know, 5 or 6 or something like that.
And then you have to get her cigarettes.
Yeah. Or pregnant, right? But with apes and other animals in general, children usually reach maturity much more quickly. The fact that this has somewhat of a delayed brain maturation to some point suggests that this is on its way, along with the 20% larger brain, to being human. Though we do still need some pretty big steps, including some brain formation changes. And that shows that Australopithecine brains were probably very similar to ape brains. And that usually means that their activities and lifestyles were as well.
Does this mean that I am actually the greatest ape of all, and that all the other gorillas at the schoolyard need to respect me?
Well, okay, so first of all, why are you going to school with gorillas?
You know what's below special education in the...
gorilla education?
I'm actually in an advanced gorilla course, though. I'm in like the AP use of gorilla public education.
So after you have trouble with regular school and they demote you to special education, what you're saying is after you leave the special education school, they literally just send you to the zoo, where there's a guy in khakis and long ponytailed hair that yells stuff at you while throwing heads of lettuce.
Correct. And I am killing it in this curriculum. Like, I'm kind of all, like, the other gorillas are copying my notes.
You're the third smartest gorilla in that ring.
But I have the biggest dick by far. The second biggest dick by far.
All right. Article number 3. A long-term study involving a woman who received a dual hand transplant from a man has shown that over time, the hands have influenced their recipient, causing her to have a noticeably lower voice and begin to grow facial hair. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is science. However, they didn't mention the good side. She became a much better driver and a much better storyteller.
And way better at jerking off. I got these hands and they just seem to naturally do this motion up and down.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you, sweetie. I used to like seeing your hand wrapped around my member, but it's a little unsettling now. Not only that,
but now I love it.
It's a little more emasculating. My hand looks so much bigger, but my dick looks so much bigger before.
Actually, Damien, this one is bad science. Seemingly an almost more interesting thing, they found this woman who, she got a double hand transplant. She not only is the first person to get a double hand transplant, she is the first and I believe only person to
get... Did you have a cosmetic double hand transplant? It had no purpose except because she just was always self-conscious about her hands.
Yeah, she literally just did like a Jamie Lannister to herself one night in a fit of rage. She would have done both hands, but forgot that she had nothing else to hold the knife with.
You need a friend. It's like Japanese suicide. You gotta have, you can't chop your own head off.
So this woman not only was one of the first people to get a double hand transplant, I believe she's the only person still to get a hand transplant from a different gender. So she got a two hands from a dude, and over the past few years, she had the surgery in 2017, the hands got lighter. The guy was a darker-skinned person. She was a lighter-skinned person. The hands have adapted now, and the entire things. And it was like, it's not just the hands. We say the hands. It was actually like the forearms, too. It was basically below the elbow. And the hands and arms have adapted to her skin color, which was interesting and not something that they had expected, likely because she produces less melanin and they're kind of part of her system now. But what's even more interesting to me is the hands became more feminine and slender, which is really weird because it means that like I got big man hands, right? Like I got like catcher's mitts of hands. My knuckles are giant. My hands are like thick and gnarled and stuff. But like if I put this on a dainty 95-pound woman for a few years, I wonder if I would just like, I would just get these like very delicate female hands that would be very pretty and slender.
Well, I mean, the bone structure would remain the same, right? I mean, maybe...
No, I mean, seemingly the bone structure has shifted with those hands.
Okay, can we do that? Then I want to trade back, because I always wanted really feminine hands. Can you, can I have like a surrogate, just kind of keep my hands, feminine them up?
This is almost like your idea about how when you wanted to lose weight that you think they should just perfect brain transfers so they could transfer an athlete's brain into your body, have him work you out to the point where you lose weight, and then you get transferred back into your body when he's all done.
Correct. Now, it's a great way for him to stay mentally fit once his body, yes, once he's getting not anything more out of the physical training.
Oh, and his body is going to be wrecked when he gets back. That's going to be like a rental car, yeah, that was only rented in the ghetto to 19-year-olds.
You blew out the anus.
Everything is chafed. Everything.
Here's what I would do as well. Okay. I would trade hands with a female, right, to feminine my hands up. But I would trade hands with a female fighter so that I would man up her hands, make her deadlier in the ring, and then we'd trade back.
I wonder if that'd be considered hand doping.
Tell Dana White explicitly says we can't do it. Bellator will do it. Bellator's cool.
You got busted for Saudi hand doping.
Saudis get the credit. Wow.
It's always good to just throw one random nationality in front of something just to make it seem more authentic. All right. And lastly, article number 4, new analysis and dating of the broken hill skull attributed to Homo heidelbergensis suggests that it may be the 300,000-year-old mysterious ghost species found in the genetics of certain West African populations. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. And much to the chagrin of Homo heidelbergensis, who hates its current name and wishes it had the cool name of ghost species.
Ghost face species killer?
Exactly. Ghost ride the species.
Casper the friendly species.
Yeah, this is fun.
No, Damien, in fact, this is science. And the skull and associated limb bones and tools were found in the 1920s. So this is a long-known fossil specimen called Broken Hill, or the Broken Hill specimen. It later got put into the category of Homo heidelbergensis, which is kind of, along with Homo antecessor, what we think is the direct progenitor of our own species, what came right before Homo sapien. In this case, we knew where the skull came from, and we knew what species we think it belonged to, but we didn't have a date on it. And because it was found in a rock quarry in the 1920s, basically they pulled the skull out, pulled a few bones and rocks out.
Had sex with it.
Yeah. Yeah, yelled some racial slurs at it, tidied it up in a nice little box, and then sent it off, right? But because of that, because it was found at that point, after they found it and sent it off, they basically just continued mining in the rock quarry. So by the time any researcher got out there to go look, the area where it was completely destroyed. So you couldn't do dating the only way we could do dating in the 1920s and 30s, which was to look at the stratigraphy and the animals around it and all that other kind of stuff. That's how we would figure out the date. We couldn't do that, and we still can't do that to this day because that's all gone. So what we had to do was do some radiometric dating that would finally work, and it did. And we came up with a date of about 300,000 years ago. What's really interesting is, as we've talked about before, there is a mysterious ghost species in our lineage. The paper that talked about it just came out at the end of last year. That is in the genetics of modern West Africans. Not all of them, but some of them. And this mating goes all the way back to 300,000 years ago. The first hint we ever got at this mating, even though it was confirmed by modern day genetics in late 2019, the first hint we ever got at it was actually from one of those like mail-in genealogy tests, those Ancestry.com tests that was taken in like 2012, where a guy from the South in the United States, from like Alabama, sent his thing in, and they looked at it and they went, "This is the most divergent Y chromosome on Earth. It's so divergent it predates our species. How the fuck does this work?" And that discovery led to a very, very small percentage of the population that comes from one specific part of Cameroon, and then their descendants, some of which were part of the African slave trade here in the United States, that have this super divergent, super old Y chromosome that we believe is associated with this ghost species. Now, we've since done nuclear DNA tests and kind of shown where that DNA came into the population of West African.
How's this guy doing, sexually? Like, you know, what's the future of this Y chromosome? Is this guy fucking? Like, is this guy getting out there?
I imagine he's fucking. Like, I feel like, yeah, he's probably, I mean, now granted, he's not fucking like a man with a woman's hands, right? Like that.
Not like somebody knows what they're doing.
No, not at all. I mean, he probably gets his fair share. So one of the reasons I like these stories is at that point in time, we also know that there are at least three species in that area. So this is in southern Africa, in a place that was, at that point when it was discovered, called Rhodesia, now it's Zambia.
If you found out that this dude from in the south with the most divergent Y chromosome, if you found out that this guy, and this guy specifically, had 18 kids that he was not a good father to several different women, is he the one guy you would not judge? You'd be like, you know what? Good. That chromosome.
Oh, he has to spread it. He has to spread the rare chromosome.
It's the end of an ancient line.
Maybe, but only if he had like sweet ghost makeup on as he was doing it. Like if it was a theme for him, yes, I will support it. But if like he's like, hey, I've got ghost DNA, I got ghost species, I'm going to ghost the shit out of these kids, I'm for you. Then you've got a theme going. Everything makes sense.
Well, he's into voodoo, so it's like part of his whole thing is the ghost mask and everything.
The reason this is cool is because we have at least three species. This is pretty late in human evolution. There's not a lot of things running around at this point, certainly not a lot in Africa that we know of, and especially southern Africa. Here we have Homo heidelbergensis. Homo sapien is around at this time in Morocco. We think it's possibly around at this time in South Africa as well. And Homo nodelli, which is another kind of weird variant on the Homo lineage that was only around in South Africa. All of these are poking around at this place at that time. And once again, this puts together a world that I have always just wished desperately to see, which is this almost Lord of the Rings style world that we lived in for a few hundred thousand years, where there were different hominid species just over in the next town. So it was like being over here with the elves, and then there are the hobbits, and there are the orcs, and there are the dwarves and the giants. It was like that. Like there was Homo nodelli, and there was these. And think of how different our world would be right now if we weren't the last extant species of hominid on the planet. Like the idea of Adam and Eve wouldn't make sense if there were five other hominids that looked kind of like us, but also kind of like chimps, and we could see gradations in between and how we all weren't, you know, we're animals in the same sense and stuff. We live in a really rare circumstance where like all of the things between us and chimps and all of our cousins and everything else didn't make it, just happened to not make it or breed into our population or whatever. And so we have no examples of humans in this kind of animal condition, but we very well could have.
I imagine that if all of a sudden some portal were to open up and Bobby and I in the middle of recording this were sucked back into ancient, to the time period in Africa you were talking about.
Yeah.
I could see you getting down to fuck hominids way sooner than I would.
Totally,
You would be like, sweet, dear penthouse.
Yes. Well, for one, you got to spread our modern Homo sapien genes around as much as possible to help the species progress. So yeah, of course I'm going to bang some hominids. Number two, think about it like when you're a young man and, you know, you have all these silly sexual goals. Like, I'm going to have sex with a woman of every different ethnicity, right? Now I can go species.
That's very woke of you. There are a lot of places in the South where they do not have that dream of fucking away around the planet.
Yeah, well, at least they don't want the woman to have a choice in the aspect of it, right? Like, then that's when it becomes offensive to them.
You can have sex outside your family? I refuse to believe that.
So, yeah, so in that sense, just to be kind of like, you know, the Casanova of different hominid species, I think I could pull that one. I'm still a little jealous of that person that we think was like one or two, of that dude who banged the Neanderthal, right? Because like, what if it was better? Like, what if it was so much better and we don't know and we'll never know? And like, he ran home yelling. He's like, you guys would never guess. This is fantastic. And nobody believed him. But like, what if he experienced what all of us never will get the opportunity to get, that sweet Neanderpoon, and we'll never know just how great it is?
Maybe it's not there anymore because it wasn't that great. Maybe human vagina just was the best vagina or the best dick, and that's why.
Maybe it was so good that that's where our social taboos of like racism come from, because we knew the Neanderthals would pull all our men away, and so we had to be like, oh, anybody who's different than you, you should hate them. And that was the only way human beings could keep going on with that sweet Neanderthal strange running around.
So you're saying jealous human women killed all of these? Stay away from our Homo sapien men, bitch, in the restroom.
Like, cash me outside the rock shelter. How about that?
You know what you could also do if you went back in time? You know the way history plays out. You know.
Sure.
But you could be, like, essentially the Shaquille O'Neal playing for a high school basketball team, but for Homo Nadelli. You could change history, be king of Homo Nadelli, have that hominid harem set up. Yeah.
So you're saying that I go back almost like Marty McFly to change the past, but for Homo Nadelli as opposed to Homo sapiens. Thereby, I would assume that I would then do what Marty McFly did, where he temporarily split up his parents and I would start to disappear, because by making Homo Nadelli the dominant species on Earth, I would cease to exist, right?
We all got to go sometime, Bobby. Do you want to experience? Yeah. Do you want to be king of the world? King for you could live for a day as king, or live your entire life as a slave.
I will die how I lived, banging various species of hominid and ape.
Sir, your zoo pass has been revoked.
Now I will go back in time.
I'll create my own hominids.
Well, Damien, much like last week, you got half of them wrong, meaning by balancing, so you can't even say, oh, I got more wrong than right, and therefore, like, you were perfectly 50% chance, like, just random number generator would have generated the same thing, and in which case, that is the ultimate loss. Like, it's almost as if you had to work hard to lose this much.
Or you could say that I'm just as efficient as a machine that generates victories randomly. I am just as efficient as a random machine.
I mean, let's put it this way. You're a lot like a broken machine.
Thank you. I'm right twice a day.
Yeah, you don't work very well. So you take up a lot of room.
And you don't put your genitals in it.
After a few years, you have a very distinctive smell.
What are you doing with your machines? All my machines smell like cum after I've owned them for a bit.
Oh, dear. Thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 421, where you learned all about the oldest human genetic evidence ever detected, how we learn all about the brain of Lucy's species and how it's not that much like us, how a woman's dual hand transplant ended up changing the hands, but not her, and the age of the Broken Hill skull and how it fits into our human ancestral story. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 422.
All right, all right, all right. You know what the best thing about these hominids is? I keep getting older, and they're still unable to use language to verbalize no.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.